Mark pointed out, it is an honor to be able to put together a lesson and to present it to you. Hopefully it will be beneficial to you. It's already benefited me for having to study it. Just hope that you get the same benefit out of it that I did. To you that are visiting, we welcome you. We invite you back each and every time that you have the opportunity. If you visited here before, you may be a little surprised to see me. Brother Heath is in a meeting, but he will be back next week. So if you're hoping to see him, come on back next week. He'll be here. If you would, take out your songbooks. A little unusual phrase, isn't it? Usually preachers say, take out your Bibles. Take out your songbooks, turn to number 395. Number 395. The title of that song is A Beautiful Life, and we sing it quite often, and we're going to take a look at that song this morning to see if we can gain a little bit more benefit out of it. Sometimes we just sing things and don't think a lot about the words. But in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come," this being Jesus, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Some people think that this life on earth is one of drudgery and toil and there's nothing to be gained from it. And the only thing that we have on this earth is the hope of heaven. But when Jesus said he came that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly, if we apply the principles that Jesus is teaching, this can be a beautiful life. That's not to say that it's constantly beautiful. There are hang-ups and there are snags and there are snares. And it's just like me walking in the woods. Every once in a while there's a greenbrier that grabs your leg and puts you face down in the path. But in general, we can have this beautiful life if we simply do the things that God would have us to do. And when we sing this song, it starts out, "Each day I'll do a golden deed." That word "each" in there signifies the frequency. You know, we talk about coming to services, and we come to services 2 days a week, 3 times a week, and that's a frequency. But when we're talking about doing these golden deeds, this is not just 3 times a week, it's not just once a week, but it's each day of the week. And if we are going to be dedicated to doing this, maybe when we wake up, we ought to think of what we can do that's a golden deed. What we can do for somebody else. It may be your wife. It may be your mother. It may be your father. Maybe children. Maybe any kinds of relatives and neighbors. And if you notice, I kind of put this in order. That our family comes first, and then our relatives, and then our neighbors. But we need to think of what we can do, what kind of deed, what kind of things we can do for these kinds of people. Remember, in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, the people there asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And what this points out to us is there are two things that God wants from us. And one is to put him first. And secondly is to love our neighbors, love the rest of the people as we love ourselves. Understand that the good things that happen on this earth are a forerunner of things to come. You know, we talk about heaven, and there'll be no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, no pain, no anguish. And those kind of things that we enjoy in this life are just a forerunner of how heaven is going to be 100% of the time. And those things that happen to us that are bad and that are evil and that are painful will be banished. They will not happen. And so we need to practice, if you will, those good deeds while we're here upon the earth. We'll know what they feel like. Now, I used to play basketball back in high school. And some of you are going to say, yeah, back in the sticks, back in the old days. But we never went out to play a game without practice. Coach had us practice 3 hours a day for a one-hour game. And the same thing here. We're going to practice those good deeds so we know what they're like, and we're going to know some of the things we might expect if and when we make it to heaven. But it says, each day I'll do. That word I there is a personal pronoun. And it is a personal commitment that I have to make. I can't commit for you. You have to make that commitment. And secondly, I can't put it off onto somebody else. Now, there are a lot of things that happen in this world today that people think they can take their responsibility, take their commitment, and let George do it. Let Sam do it. Let somebody else beside me. I don't have time. I'll give him some money and he can do my work for me. But that doesn't work. We take a look around here and we've got government who wants to give money to people. We've got charitable organizations that want to give money to people. And this is sometimes well and good, but no matter how much they do, it doesn't take my responsibility away from me. That's one of the drawbacks of institutions, the legitimate ones, is because it tends to make me think that I don't have any responsibility anymore. My neighbor needs some food. I need to feed him. My neighbor needs some clothes. I need to help him. And I need to respond to those needs which I see. So we're talking about a personal commitment here when he says, each day I'll do. And it says a golden deed. You ever watch some of the business channels today and look at the price of gold? Gold is good, isn't it? Gold is good. And he's talking about good deeds here. He's not talking about evil deeds. But he's also talking about doing this golden deed. Now, a deed is a response to a need, a response to a motivation. It's a result, if you will. In James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, James there writes, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And of course, we use this a lot of times to talk about, you know, faith only, and faith requires works. But it points out a very simple principle that we all understand. If you're hungry, I just can't point to you and say, the Burger King's across the street, be filled. And I can take you across the street and I can buy you that hamburger and get you filled up, but just because I point across the street and there's a restaurant over there doesn't mean anything's going to take place. So as we wake up every morning, we try to do these golden deeds and we try to have some result from them. And again, getting used to all this things here, you need to expend energy in doing these deeds. This is not something you can sit on the couch and do. And you need to expend time. People say, well, I don't have time enough to do any of these golden deeds. How are you ever going to get to heaven if you don't have time? But it says now, the next part of it says, by helping those who are in need. And one of the things that happens there is when we're helping those, we're providing the assistance. We've already talked about, well, I'm going to take him across the street to the Burger King and I'm going to get him a Whopper. Or I may be going to take him over here to some other place and buy him some food. But it's providing assistance. If I've got a couple of extra coats and I can only wear one of them and my neighbor needs a coat, then I should let him have that coat, shouldn't I? So we're going to provide the assistance for others. The second thing, though, is we're talking about those who are in need. And again, there's a lot of talk going about, well, we need to establish the need and this kind of thing. Most of those times you can see that just by observation, can't you? You know whether that guy's hungry. You know whether or not he needs clothes. You know whether or not he needs a drink of water. And when we think of need, it's sad to say in today's world, sometimes what we start thinking about is every time we see the word need, we start thinking about the word money. And we use our money to get into all these different kinds of things. But there is more than the material things. There's more than money. There are some things that are emotional. There are needs that people have. And these emotional things we have done here in the last 6 months, last 6 years, because the Bible says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And recently we rejoiced with the Readers at the birth of their new son and Randy's grandson. And there is some happiness there. But we've also wept. We've lost Marge Gentry. Didn't see a dry eye in the place. But we also comfort. You know, there's a time for weeping, but there are times of comfort. Others have lost loved ones and still need our effort in comforting. Now, we may not think this as much. We think it's more to give time and more to give money. But believe me, when you start looking at some of these emotional needs, what you do for them is just as valuable as money. It's just as important. But the second thing, or the third thing that we need to look at here, is that there are some people who need teaching. That's a need that's just as important, maybe more important, than the material and the emotional. Because what's going to happen if people lack the teaching? Are they going to know about Christ? Are they going to know about heaven? Are they going to know about hell? And when we talk about doing a golden deed each day, we may need to teach somebody. Now, if you say, "Oh, brother, I'm no good at that. I don't have the ability." That may well be true, but you know there are others in the congregation that do. And you can point them the way. You can take them over to somebody who will teach them and get a Bible study going. But more importantly, you can live an exemplary life that is sometimes as good as teaching. You know, we sing a song here sometimes, you know, that we are the only Bible that a careless world will read. How do we look? How do we appear before our fellow men? So when we're talking about help here now, we're talking about some material assistance. We're talking about emotional help. And we're talking about being able to teach them. When you get up in the morning, surely there are some opportunities that you may run across during that day that you will be able to help somebody. "My life on earth is but a span" is the next part of that song. And we are alerted to the brevity of life. And for some of us, that becomes more and more relevant every day. Some of the children out there, hasn't set in on them, but with every birthday, you begin to become more and more aware that your life on earth is but a span. The Bible talks about 70. And some have already gone well beyond that. And their expectations, it's one of those things that you don't expect to do, but you're grateful for every year. But our life is brief. There is so much to do and so little time. They told me a few years ago when I retired that you're really going to enjoy retirement, but the one thing I can say about retirement, I don't know how I ever worked a job into my life. There are too many things that are going on. So much to do, so little time. But we need to recognize again that we're here but for a short period of time. And the next part of that song, it says, "And so I'll do the best I can." Again, notice the personal commitment in this statement. I'll do the best I can. And in doing the best you can, you're going to have to take advantage of your opportunities and your resources. We talked about that just briefly a couple minutes ago. But opportunities appear daily. Our family, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, those that we come in contact with. Sometimes we don't have all of this, but there are things that are there, and not all have the same abilities. Do you have the ability to cook? Do you have the ability to sew up clothing? How about it, Jan? Can you repair a roof? So there are some things that we can do and some things that we can't do, but by the same token, we need to recognize all our various abilities, and if Jan can't repair a roof, maybe she knows somebody that can. And she can be of assistance that way. That's a golden deed. So we take advantage of our opportunities. We take advantage of our resources. We mentioned some of you may not feel right in teaching others. I know some don't feel right teaching a class, but are very good in personal one-on-one Bible studies. So again, we need to recognize what we have. Remember the slogan the Army has out now, be all that you can be? Isn't that what Jesus is asking of us? Be what we can be. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to be something that you can't. But be all that you can be. God wants your best. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, he says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more." What have we been committed? Have not we been committed to the Scriptures? The teachings that Jesus did while he was here upon the earth. And when we have those things, there's going to be some things required of us. And not the least of which is that we'll be obedient to them. And as I said before, you can live an exemplary life. Don't steal, don't murder, don't do all these things. And show Jesus' teaching in your life. Be examples to others, even if you have difficulty taking up the Scriptures and being able to teach the Scriptures. So, this particular verse then describes our motivation, or the motivation that's there, and the next verses are going to tell us some specific things that we can do. How will we be a child of God? Now, the next verse starts that we need to be a child of God. And to be a child of God, first of all, it says our light must shine. We've taught our children in the Bible classes that when you light a candle, nobody hides it under the bushel. Remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine"? The adults remember that, don't they? The question is, do you practice it? We can teach it to our kids and we can teach it to others, but do we practice it? So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Okay? And just substitute for the word works in that verse deeds, because they mean the same thing. That's exactly what we're talking about. That they may see your good works or your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is being able to put on the teachings that Christ has given us and to live this life that reflects what he has taught us. And then to be a child of God, we're going to sing his praise. Have you ever been out fishing or out hunting or driving down the road and there's a song going through your mind? What are they? The Battle of New Orleans? Big Bad John? Some other song? Or do you sing? And to be real honest with you, part of the reason I did this sermon is because I was driving someplace the other day and that song was going through my mind. Hadn't sung it for a while, and so it's going through my mind. But every once in a while you sit there and these things go through your mind. We're going to sing God's praise. Hum it, sing it, practice it. And then the third thing is that we're going to help some troubled soul. We've already talked about how do we help the troubled soul. Well, we help them financially, we help them emotionally, and we help them spiritually. And one of the things that we're here today in this auditorium doing is, according to Hebrews, where it says that we're here to provoke one another to love and good works. Do we have troubled souls here? Yeah. How do we help them out of it? We provoke them to do things. And then it says the only life that will endure is one that's good and pure. He's not talking about enduring life here upon this earth, I don't think, in this particular thing. But we talked earlier about here are the good things that you do. Here are the feelings that you get, the good feelings you get, whether you're the recipient or the giver. And those things will endure into life hereafter. Those people who do evil and do good and take and steal and murder, those things won't be in the afterlife, will they? In heaven, there aren't going to be any troubles and sorrows. So we're practicing for heaven when we do those good things. But he says the only one that's going to endure is one that's good and pure. And then it says, I'll take a stand for God. I don't think he's talking here just the idea that Peter points out in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are sent for the defense of the gospel. But do you take a stand for God by doing those things that are right? Do you take a stand for God by refusing to steal? Do you take a stand for God by refusing to lust and to covet and to do all of these things? You know, people look at us today and say, well, you don't do this and you don't do that. And you say, well, I'm just kind of... No, that causes lust. That will lead me to adultery. That covetousness, that will lead me to stealing. I don't want that. I want to live differently. Do you defend those things which are right, or do you cower in the corner? Are you taking a stand for God? What happens when you get into some conversations or you're around people where they begin to deny God? Where they start talking about evolution? Where they start talking about the sins that the people don't think are sins? You know, grab for all the gusto. What do you do? Do you take a stand for God, or you just let it pass over? And then the other things that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to lend a helping hand. I'd call your attention to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, where Jesus is picturing the judgment there. And remember, all those people were sitting there, and Jesus is going to send those into everlasting life because they gave him a drink, because they gave him some food, because they did this and that to him. And they're looking kind of puzzled. Well, wait a minute. When did we see you in this position? You remember what Jesus said? Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Don't you see in that statement there the fulfillment of the two great commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that putting that principle to practice? Isn't that doing the good deeds? And then the other group over there, because they didn't do it, and they're questioning, well, you know, I would have done it if I'd have seen you. I would have helped you out if I'd have known it was you. But they didn't, because they didn't help their brethren. You know, the Bible also talks about some who have entertained angels unawares. Do we know what is out there? But we need to have that attitude that we're going to help or lend a helping hand. And then it says we're going to lift a traveler's load. Some of the first things you think about that is you see this woman out on the highway out here and she's got a flat tire and you're going to stop and change her tire. Well, that's not all it's talking about. There are other things. We are pictured as travelers on life's road. Galatians chapter 6 talks about bearing one another's burdens. And we all have them. Now, when we think of bearing a burden, we think of a mule and a camel and all these beasts of burden that people have used to carry things around. But we have emotional burdens as well as physical burdens. And the Bible says that we're to bear those things. And again, going back and looking at the material, the emotional, and the teaching. Those are burdens that people have. Some are trying to learn. Some are trying to get to the point where they know what the Bible says. It's burdensome to them. Can we help? Can we bear their burdens? And then it says, I'm going to try to turn the night to day. When you sit back and think about it, what happens in the night? What does the Bible talk about? The return of Jesus is likened unto a thief in the night, isn't it? Isn't that when the evil occurs? Those who normally get drunk at night. Now, there are a few dedicated alcoholics that are drunk all the time. But most of the time, if people want to get drunk, they go out and do it at night. If they want to go out and commit fornication, they do it at night. And all the evil we associate with darkness. And what we're trying to do in talking about turning the night today, we're not talking about Joshua and making the sun stand still. We're talking about exposing the things that are evil, exposing the things that are dangerous. When we talk about lust, when we talk about hatred, we're exposing those things that generally happen in the night. And so we're trying to do the things that cheer people up, so to speak. And a lot of times we talk about getting dragged down. We can get dragged down with sin. We can picture a guy with a ball and chain, and that ball says sin, and you just can't move. What we want to do is cut the chain. Expose that. Have him get rid of it. Have him get forgiven of it. And that way we can turn his despair and his lack of hope into hope. Turn the night into day. And the last one says we make flowers bloom along the way. How many of you are gardeners? Go out in the springtime and you plant flowers and you sit there and you enjoy them. How many of you enjoy dandelions? You know, for a while they're pretty, aren't they? You just don't find a yellow like that everywhere. And ladies will go out there and they'll try to get that same yellow in a tulip or a lily or whatever. Just can't quite copy it. But we sure don't like those things in our green yard, do they? But we're talking about these kinds of flowers. What do we do at weddings? Bride carries a bouquet, doesn't she? Because we appreciate the beauty of the flowers. At funerals, we send flowers and planters and these kind of things. Symbols of appreciation. Something to try to cheer people up, if you will. And that's what we're talking about here. That we are a people that tries to cheer up. We're not a people that tries to ride down. Now, granted, there's negative preaching in the gospel, but when we get out and preach it, when we teach it, we ought to be able to smile a little bit, shouldn't we? We ought to be able to show the joy that we have because of the hope that's presented in the gospel. And not just necessarily point everything, this is sin, that's sin, that's all, you shouldn't do that. But you should do this because look at the reward. Look at the hope that is presented there to each and every one of us in the scripture. When you get to the chorus, we're going to talk about why. The chorus says, life's sinking sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. And life's sun is sinking fast. And again, as I said before, to some of us right now, that's a little more relevant than it used to be. And some of you young boys and girls sitting here, when you get another 20 or 30 years on you, it'll get more relevant to you also. But again, the sun is sinking fast. There's so much to do. There's so little time. And it's sinking fast. And then it says, and I must go. We all have to have the realization that, as the old man once said, that we'll never get out of this world alive. That we all must go, all must die. Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But where are we going? Or why are we going? Well, the next part of that chorus says, I'm going in order to meet the deeds that I have done. In other words, here we're talking about this idea of a practice again. Whatever I've done on this earth, I'm going to meet in judgment. If I have done evil in this earth, don't you suppose I'm going to meet evil deeds in judgment? If I have done good on this earth, then there's going to be good deeds to meet in judgment. Now, this is not saying that everybody who does good is going to be saved, but good is also defined as being obedient to God. So if I'm a child of God and I've been obedient to Him, I'm going to meet those good deeds. And again, no sorrow, no tears, none of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body." You ought to be thankful that you're not going to have to give account for what I've done. Because I'm thankful I don't have to give account for what you've done. The deeds done in this body. "Neither will a sun set on the punishment of God's children who have done evil." And that's a different part of it. Whether it be good or bad. And so, again, we need to see the necessity of those things. And why are we going? Well, we're going to meet the deeds, as I said. Where are we going? We are going where there will be no setting sun. To those that are obedient children of God and those who have the hope, this is a wonderful description, isn't it? Because in heaven, for the righteous, the sun will never set on good works. The sun will never set on your enjoyment. The sun will never set on your pleasure. But if you're not one of God's children, that same sun will never set while you are being punished. That means that there is going to be a recognition of the things that God has talked about. The pain, the sorrow, the anguish. We look in this life and we work during the day and we sleep at night. We describe sleep as a rest. You know, the body gets recharged. It gets ready to go again. As a young man, you'd hunt all day, sleep all night, and hunt all the next day. And as you get older, you hunt all day, you sleep all night, and you rest for 3 days, and then you can hunt all day again. But the sun isn't going to set on those aches and pains if you've done evil. Don't you want to be an obedient child of God? Don't you want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, there's some obedience that gets you started, and then there are good works that you need to commit to. You need to try to cheer people up. You need to try to comfort them. You need to praise God and put Him first. One of the things that we do in this song is we hear what is being said. We hear what the gospel has to say. We believe in Jesus. We believe in His promises. As we said in the Bible study this morning, God has promised us heaven. Does that change every week? Or is God not slack concerning His promises? We need to confess that Jesus is His Son, and that we're willing to submit to Him and His Word. We need to repent of the things that we've been done, and we need to be obedient in baptism, and after being obedient in baptism, continue in the beautiful life. Continue in the good works. Do away with the evil works, and we will have a hope that's heaven. If you started on that path and you've fallen away, or you want to start that path, won't you come while Brother Mark leads us in song?